Welcome back to another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8. And if you love bad kids, then you'll love this episode. Tune in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
From Miami to Australia. Yes.
Tell me what you've been drinking. Okay.
You know, I had to keep the mood up today, you know, because this episode was kind of somber, so I had to keep it up. So let's keep this energy going. This is a little Samantha J for you guys. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are the Real Housewives of New Jersey panel for Season 8, Episode 6, and we have a full house tonight, so I'm really, really excited about that. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Richie Scott, and we have the beautiful...
I'm Tracy Probst. Nice to see you guys.
What's up, everybody? I'm Russell Ray.
And it's Grant's Rants. I've come back for a drop-in. I did this show for many years, and it had its highs and lows, but I'm excited about this season.
Welcome back. You're like Danielle coming right back.
Not that bad, but I'm so excited for her. Oh, I'm so excited.
I was so excited for her, too, yet so disappointed that we did not see her the entire episode.
Got a little phone call.
We only heard her by phone call.
Yeah.
So but I was disappointed.
Even that, though, she still elbowed her way in. So good for her. Good for her.
Well, we start off with Teresa at home packing with Pops for PR. And we get a little montage I love a montage, but can I just tell you guys that I hate eyelashes on cars?
I wrote that. I put she has eyelashes on her.
I put she would have eyelashes on her car.
So it's funny everybody caught that. I was like, I wanted to like her much better, but she just lost points right there for me with those eyelashes.
I just got myself bad at my own eyelashes. Like when I seen it, I was like, oh my god.
It went from that shot to her crazy colored shoes. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see that.
Oh my god, they went straight from the eyelashes straight to her.
That
like
means she's been chunky.
These yes.
Big,
like making yes, girl. But I want to be like that when I'm that old. So, I mean, props to her.
As we discovered a few episodes back, she loves a chunky shoe.
Yeah, yep. Why not?
So, there we have it. And we also we know that now Pops loves his Speedos. Because he's planning on taking some to Puerto Rico.
Oh my god.
I would not want to see Nono's junk in a tight.
No.
No. I mean, no. Joe Gorga always said his dad was the Italian Stallion, but I don't know if you want to see that much of it. Like, there's a certain age where you should cut it off. Like, I mean, like 35 latest. When everything starts kind of falling, it's like, we should put it away now. Maybe in some really long board shorts or sweatpants on the beach.
Yeah, what do you wear as an old man at the beach?
Speedos.
No!
No, you definitely do not. I don't know what you wear. You just stay covered up in the corner, I think.
I'm going to tell you the truth. When I go to Miami, I see older people in Speedos and less than all the time.
Right?
Less than.
Less than.
What's less than that? G-string?
Okay.
Damn. Okay.
Miami, Puerto Rico? Come on, it's hot there.
I didn't see anything like that in Puerto Rico when I went.
I don't know where you went.
It's definitely a cultural thing, for sure. Like,
I think it is.
It's a European thing.
Yeah.
Would you guys feel comfortable wearing them now?
Absolutely.
I'm assuming you're talking to the boys in here, because
I'm a board shorts kind of guy at the beach.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just recently I got into like the shorter ones, like the shorter, not like the board shorts. So I'm a little behind.
Do you like the
mid thigh ones?
That's where I'm at. That's like a comfortable space.
But you got to lift. If you don't lift, then don't wear them.
Do you want to see guys in Speedos or board shorts?
No, like not in America. Like it doesn't make sense here. If you go like abroad, I think it kind of makes sense and you kind of embrace the culture, but not in America.
It's very European.
Yeah.
Do you like guys with big butts?
I mean, I like a good booty.
So like if they're wearing Speedos or like a really tight chunk, then you can see their butt.
It's true, but it's not what I was accustomed to growing up, so it's like
it's awkward. It's new.
Yeah, but you can still see their butt in short shorts, right?
I mean, true, but some people just don't know how to wear board shorts. Like, they get the extra baggy ones.
Yeah,
it's
that's true. You definitely have to stay with it season to season.
Mm-hmm. I like fitted ones.
Yeah, like, I can agree with that.
Stretched ones. Like, yeah, totally. I like that, too. Yeah. Well, we also... Sidebar. Speaking of butts... No, it was a perfect segue, because now we get to the doctor's office where we learn that Siggy is getting her butt pellets with Dolores.
What is a butt pellet? What is it? What are they doing? Did Yolanda have this done?
It's a hormone. It's a hormone.
Yolanda had this done. Before it was cool, Yolanda did it in Beverly Hills.
Before Munchausen's.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently it is a combination of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone.
But what are they inserting? Like a pellet? Like a
thing? Did you see how thick that needle was?
They were little balls.
Yeah.
Like,
and
the balls that they
pellets.
Put in.
Literally.
And they just hang out in your butt cheeks?
See, that's why it seems like a gimmick.
It's kind of like, I'm assuming that the hormones are encased in the pellets, and then they just inject them. I don't know why they just don't.
Why don't you take them orally? Like why?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know why. I mean, but I do know people that get testosterone shots. Yeah, so I'm assuming it's similar.
Huh. Maybe they put it in like maybe since it's a pellet, it takes longer to break down. So if they put it in the fat cells, it like slowly.
If anyone knows, can you tweet us and let us know?
Come
if you guys
Dr. Russell
know.
Ray.
Please.
Well, exactly. Okay, that's what we want to know. So we learned that she's trying to get control of her emotions and she doesn't want to be soggy anymore. It's good to see that she can actually laugh about her new nickname. I'm excited about that because I'm tired of seeing her cry. And we also learned that women need testosterone too.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So they could put the smack down. That's why.
I had no clue.
Somebody tweeted us about it. They said they hang out in your butt and slowly release over up to 6 months, according to Google. All right.
Thank you,
for the Google search.
Olga stays on it every week. Thank you. Shout out to
Olga.
Where
in your butt? Like in the muscle? Like where did she get? I'm trying to figure out where exactly they hang out.
In the fatty area.
In the fun place of the booty.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere
the jiggly
around.
Part?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Whatever works.
At this point, Siggy relays that the girls were asking about, you know, Dolores' relationship with Frank. And we find out, well, she finds out that Teresa was sort of leading the charge with that. And she kind of flips out. Was she right for doing that? Because she went off. She talked about Joe Giudice possibly cheating on Teresa. She says that he's treated her just poorly throughout their relationship. And that Frank has treated her better than Joe Giudice ever treated Teresa on his best day.
Mm-hmm.
Quote.
She overreacted.
Hardcore. Think she overreacted?
Absolutely. First things first, Teresa Ledin, it wasn't, I don't necessarily think, digging. So when she came at it, it was like, I don't understand what's going on. So at that point, there was two options for Siggy. Either, oh, well, then why don't you just ask her?
Right.
Or they're really good friends and he needed a place to stay and that's all it is. Like, why do people always have to feel the need to explain for other people or for yourself? And why do people have the right to feel that they can just dig? Shut it down while it's there in front of you.
I guess I didn't get the feeling that when she was asking the question that it was to be, like, nosy. As more of it was like, who does that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like it
when
was...
When Teresa was asking?
Yeah. It didn't feel like it was like...
Invasive.
I'm attacking her.
Yeah.
It felt like just kind of like a playful, like, who does it? But I don't necessarily know if, you know, Dolores overreacted or not, because I feel like there's a simmering beef between her and Dolores anyway. It's just unspoken.
I mean, to say that all the things
that, she said a lot.
Yeah, that she said.
Yeah.
She probably felt backed into a corner, and that's usually when you get that type of reaction when, like, you feel like somebody's kind of right about something and you have no other option than to bash their character. Those are some pretty low blows that I don't think somebody coming from a good place would have thrown.
Yeah,
out
she's
there.
Supposed to be such a loyal friend of 20 years and all this stuff. So it's kind of surprising to see that. It makes me question just how loyal she really is. If she's only loyal to Siggy. I mean, these two are, they have to do everything together. I mean, she even has to go and watch this woman get things inserted in her behind. I mean, really, though? I mean, it's a little much. Their relationship is a little much. It always makes me laugh when these housewives have to visit the other housewife when they're getting a procedure done. They have to sit in
Hold
the chair and watch.
Yeah.
But typical, of course, they're going to go together. But yeah, I'm wondering if the loyalty is selective.
I definitely think it's selective. I absolutely 110% agree with you on that. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I think to go so low with what she said made me feel like maybe Danielle was right about what Dolores said about Teresa. Only being interested in money.
Mm. Well, Teresa said it herself. I'm the sole provider. I got to make money. That's why this book deal is important to me. I have to make the money. So she's worried about. I think what happened was it was taken out of context, and then everybody totally got emotional.
I agree with you. It was spun. Danielle spun it for the cameras. This is my opinion. I agree.
Yeah.
That she probably said, like, did. So Dolores probably said, like, oh, don't even bother with Therese right now. She's just worried about money and her kids, and she's just trying to pay everything off. It's just, money's a big thing. So, of course, she's like, well, she doesn't care about anybody, anything, except money.
Yep.
So that it got spun. That's what it was. That way, Danielle still covers her ass, so that way she's not deemed a liar. No one's really lying there. That's why they can't get to the bottom of it, because it's just spun.
Danielle always starts with that look like, Dolores said something, and as your friend...
She's so proud.
I just want to say, I don't know what else I should do, but she said all you're worried about is money, and then pins it, and lets it be. And so then you proud. Know Teresa's wheels are like shoo, 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 shoo.
I know Danielle.
I know. Where is she? I'm surprised she didn't fly herself to Puerto Rico. I mean, you know, she'll do anything to stay on the show. She flew herself to Florida. Gosh. They never in that first episode explained why she was in Florida. Everybody else had an excuse. With the other one, Margaret had some reason to be there, but this one just walked in, just showed up. So I like
so
it.
True.
I like it. Do what you're gonna do.
Well, the most poignant part of this scene was that Siggy literally kisses Dolores' ass on the way out the door. I thought that was very emblematic of their friendship.
Oh, so true.
Next, we see Marge with Bitch Stole My Look because her mom is now wearing pigtails as well. For some reason, I don't quite like them as much, and I don't really like them on Marge, but I don't like them as much on Marge Sr. Yeah. And has anybody noticed that Marge calls her mom Marge Sr.?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was just...
I noted the same thing. I wrote the same thing. I said, really? Where is it in here? Same thing. Marge Sr. I did. I swear I wrote it. I can find it. There it is.
We could take a poll, but I think Marge wore it better. So she tells her mom about, you know, Siggy and... You know, that she stuck up for Dolores when everybody was asking about her relationship. And so she actually calls Dolores, which I love Margaret because she just really gets right to the point with everybody. Like, maybe it's, you know, because she's sort of pushed into it by her mom, but she does make the call and says, let's just address the issue. So I was kind of pleased with her for doing that. I was really pleased with Dolores for being pleasant. Because normally she's not.
She's vicious.
You're right.
She's vicious. But this episode, I think we really came to understand, which we'll get to later, of why Margaret is just so, it's topical things, and she doesn't take it as a serious issue on just these simple cat fights. And she's like, just get over it.
Yeah.
And we understand that now about Margaret, which I really liked. And it was a good way to see her insight about how she looks at the situation.
It was. I had no idea that it would get so deep, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, Teresa gets to the El Conquistador Resort. She's already been there for 2 days, and she's already annoying her daughters, and they are already annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are just like, literally, I hate to talk about somebody's child, but like, they are all running like they're out of control.
They run amok.
Yeah, but she's letting them. You know, think about how you were at that age and what you'd always try to test your limits and what you could get away with.
Mm.
And if no one's there, especially not, you know, their father figure, who I think they have a little bit more respect for than Teresa, then of course they're going to be trying to get away with everything they can. I don't blame the kids as much as I blame Teresa.
My mother would have never let it happen in the month of February. It just
wouldn't
happen.
Right? Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
But you're right. It is really hard to watch as an adult now.
So hard.
And when you're in the presence of your grandparents, especially growing up as a kid, do you ever feel a little bit, like, you have to be a little more reserved than you normally would be when they're there?
Absolutely.
So, like, they don't give a damn.
They don't.
So I don't think that grandfather is that active anyway as a disciplinarian. He seems just to kind of just live there. So maybe they know they can get away with it with him, too.
Yeah.
And sleep. He does a lot of sleeping.
Yeah.
See that. Then we get the infamous call from Danielle. You know, she's just calling to check on Teresa and see how the vacation's going. And, you know, interestingly, we get this, you know, Teresa's frustrated with the fact that Danielle is being a little bit more of a friend to her than Dolores. What do we think about this?
Well, I think Dolores is... I think Danielle is being equally a kiss-ass as the other two. But then she called her, "Oh, your father's food was so amazing. I hope you're having such a good time. Say hello to everyone." I'm like, oh, Lord. She is just trying way too hard, this one. What was your question? I'm sorry.
No, you answered it. You answered it perfectly. I mean, my question is, do we really think that, you know, Dolores is the loyal friend that she should be?
Well, no. I mean, if you don't talk,
for a 20-year friendship.
If you don't talk constantly, but that's the thing with friendships. They do come to an expiration date if you don't nurture them.
I think Teresa's just being sensitive.
You think she's being sensitive?
Yeah. I mean, I understand what why she would even question that, but at the same time, it's... I don't think Danielle a better friend than Dolores. I feel like Danielle's the, like, pot stirrer. That's always been my opinion about her, and I'd watch my back both ways, like... Oh, wow. So that's my opinion.
How would you feel with her as a guest? Would you still have to watch her back?
I love it. I love her as a guest. No, I don't.
We're sitting on the side.
I totally want her sitting right here. Oh my god,
that would be amazing.
I can just picture the outfit, the look. You know, there's a look coming.
Teach me the face. Yeah, like he pretty much has it down though. Yeah. So.
That's what you need to do, side by side with her.
Hi, honey. I'm so excited to be at AfterBuzz.
I just want her to sing a snippet of her single building. Real close.
What's that lady's name? Carmichael.
Lori Michaels.
Lori Michaels.
Lesbian superstar.
Lori Michaels. We love that.
But this is the thing I want to say with Dolores. We're only told how great of a friend she was with her.
We've never seen it.
I mean, yeah, that's just because that she hasn't been on the show only the last seasons. But, I mean, it's just a lot of this being told stuff. So maybe they're not as tight as we are told they are. I don't know. Maybe they were, and they just, you know, when you're longtime friends with someone, you just consider them real close, yeah. You know?
And you don't maybe put as much effort into it because you don't think you have to.
Yeah, but then when times change and different people come into the picture and you add a reality show into your relationship, then things can kind of separate and you notice it a little bit more. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Which I love. Tension. So next we go and visit Melissa and Joe, and Joe is literally beating his meat. And we learn that little Joe has three girlfriends. And this is, okay, I just have to say this, and I'm not necessarily a feminist, but it was just interesting. And Antonia looks a lot like Melissa. I just noticed that tonight. Nice. But Antonia can't have a boyfriend. She can't even leave the house for sleepovers.
No.
But he is celebrated for having three girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Misogyny at its best. Yeah. I mean, how did you feel about this? I mean, I didn't grow up a girl, so I don't know exactly how this goes, really.
Yeah, I think it has to do with, like, her being daddy's little girl. I think he just kind of treats her differently in general. Definitely I didn't like it. You can definitely see a separation there. But, yeah, it seems pretty typical, old school Italian, like, you have all the women you want, and you stay at home. Yeah. So, I wasn't, like, surprised by it. But, yeah, it's definitely not fair.
If I'm correct, I feel like even Melissa was celebrating this.
Was she?
I feel like she was. I don't know. She's always silent. She's always silent when she needs to speak up.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm glad she did say something to him. Maybe he did realize, you know, as we'll find out, he was being a little too strict and she can hang out with the boys.
But I do agree with these no sleepover things with kids, especially when you reach a certain age, because, you know, it's weird out there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, well, wait.
What's your cultural background?
Italian.
So I'm Sicilian. Okay. My mom's the same way. Yeah. She's like, no, I don't trust those people. I don't trust their parents. I don't know what they're involved in. And I'm like,
totally.
Relax.
Wait a minute.
But if I had a kid, I wouldn't do it. But I would want to do it.
Yes.
I don't feel like I had sleepovers until I got a little bit
older. Yeah, same.
So I don't understand this. Like, explain.
No sleepovers after 12? You're having sleepovers with the same sex, right? Like with the same, like
I never
when
had
you're
any.
sleepovers.
My first sleepover was at the age of 21.
What?
Well, I know what that means.
Me too.
I don't know if that was a sleepover.
A slumber party. Some sort. A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, but I don't, yeah, I just, in general, with the young girls, unless if you're sleeping over, like, maybe, like, in a cousin's house, like, a family member, or, like, your next door, I don't know.
My mom didn't even dress the neighbors.
Really? No, yeah.
Maybe I was a good child, but those types of things didn't even enter my head.
Mine either, yeah. And typically, if I was spending the night, it was with some friends in the neighborhood, and we were all, like, spending the night or something like that. And my parents knew who they were because everybody in the community was kind of, like, close. Right. So I guess it was never a big thing, but, like...
Or we had, like, a soccer game the next day or, like, a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
who knows?
We were waking
like,
up
I
for
mean,
something on
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, just, like, watching cartoons or whatever until we all pass out.
Yeah, same. I was good, I guess, you know?
And at 12.
We're all
good
kids, I guess, except this one. Until 12.
Not at Ms. Grace's house. She was like, you are not leaving. You are not spending the night at no one's house. I don't know their mother. I know their mother, but I don't know their mother. And I was like,
oh my.
Okay, I'm just going to stay right here.
Oh, but I feel like she's a girl and she's 12. And maybe I'm thinking to myself, like, I mean, that I feel like girls would be more inclined to do that.
I mean,
12.
It is what you do. I mean, she's probably left out of a lot of parties and stuff, which sucks. But I'm just saying, as a parent, I would think like 16. Times before I did that. But.
I mean, sending your kid to a party or like a little get together is fine, and picking them up late is fine, but like allowing your child to spend the night at someone else's house, it's like you said, there's weird people out there, and you only know someone as far as you go with them. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering though if that's what Joe Gorga is thinking, what we're thinking, or if he just doesn't want his daughter out. Perhaps doing stuff that, you know, but his sons cook, you know, they can stay out. They're like half her age and they can do whatever they want. Yeah. So I'm wondering if he's even thinking like we're in danger, and he's probably just thinking he wants his daughter or the daddy's little girl home.
Yeah, because I think he would totally let the boys sleep over anywhere. Yeah. I think he'd just let them go to a bar. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he would take them with him. So on the way to meet Margaret, Dolores is in the car and she's obviously talking to Siggy because that's all she does. And, you know, Siggy's glad she's not there. I'm glad she's not there. I think we're all glad she's not there. Production's glad she's not there. Nobody's going to cry. And, you know, immediately when Dolores gets to the restaurant, they both kind of, they have some similarities that I didn't necessarily know before. Like, I didn't know that they both didn't drink. Which I find fascinating when people do these shows, because I think I would have to drink, which I think would cause more problems. But, you know, Marge essentially asked Dolores, you know, what's the problem? Like, you know, why can't we get along, you know? And Dolores is, for the first time, I feel like receptive to a conversation, because I feel like she doesn't necessarily have the audience or Siggy behind her.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I was shocked as soon as they came in and they ordered food. I was like, I mean, I guess they're not drinking, but I was like, whoa, you plan on being here for a while. Like, you know, that's makeup conversation. It's going to get thrown, or you never know how it's going to go. But they came in and I was like, oh, they're going to have a real conversation. And they did. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It was a very, probably one of the most grown up conversations we've seen so far this season. And it turned out really well. So I agree with you.
On this show, especially.
Yeah.
I didn't like how Dolores was like, oh, I don't find her faulty at all. But then in her confessional, she's like, you think I'm going to say that to Margaret? It's like, you're just being real. Relax. Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah, Siggy had already explained to Margaret that she was going to have the pellets anyway.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like this was some, like, thing to keep a secret.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I get loyalty, but I just don't get, I mean, I feel like it's a point where loyalty turns to enabling. And I think that that's what's happening here. And I think if you don't correct your friend's behavior, even if you don't want to say it in public, like, I feel like you have an obligation to still say something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or, like, make light of it. Like, well, do you think Siggy is emotional? I'm like, well, that's why she got the pellets. You know, just let it be. Because it's general knowledge. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time connecting with Dolores if I were Margaret, because she's clearly just writing off her friend and just, you know, signing off on her behavior, when it's obvious. Like, for me, I feel like in my relationships, I like people to be dead honest and real. And, like, it's not necessarily gossiping about someone, but it's like, let's address what we're all seeing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's an insult to me if you're going to sit across to me and say, no, she's everything's great. There's not a problem. We're living a gold standard life. And it's like, well, hold on. Like, clearly you're not. It's like, to me, it takes me out of it. It's not honest. But I guess she really doesn't even want to be caught dead talking about her. Siggy, but again, she'll say what she wants about Teresa's marriage, so.
Precisely. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you can be honest about what you want to be honest about, mm-hmm. and you're, it's very selective.
The cherry picking, that can't do that.
No.
You're either, like, a dead, you know, like, loyal friend till the end, or then you wish-wash.
And I prefer real, and I feel like we're starting to see a lot more wishy-washiness with Dolores.
Agreed.
And I don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, she gives Margaret some advice about, you know, when girls that have already been in the picture are arguing. She essentially advises her to stay out of it. I don't necessarily know if that's the best advice. I mean, the women on the show are asked on the show for a reason. Like, you've got to have a point of view. You've got to have a voice. And I feel like you should respect it when somebody, you know, inserts themselves to try to stop a situation. But again, I think this goes back to her loyalty to Siggy.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think she was really trying to stop the situation, or was she trying to throw a jab in there when she called her soggy? Like, was she trying to lighten the mood, or was she really trying to, like, and then be like, I was just kidding. I was just trying to make everyone laugh. And was that some shade? Like, I think it was definitely shade.
Shade at its finest.
Right? That's what I thought. And then she turned it around, like, I'm just trying to lighten the mood and not create. I'm like, girl, please. You know exactly what you were doing.
But I feel like Margaret would call Teresa or anybody else the same thing, and they might not get as well. Teresa's Patti LaBelle, but besides that, I think everybody else would kind of just take it as like, whatever, you know, and just write it off as like, so what? You made a comment.
I couldn't believe that was what Dolores was most upset about. Not about any of the other stuff or comments or the way they behaved in Siggy's house in Florida. Just that one thing, calling her soggy. That was the basis of her upset.
But that didn't even involve her.
No, that's the funny part.
I mean, look, if you watch other cities, people are calling each other the C word on these shows. I mean, let's be real. I mean, she's calling her soggy, like, let's get over it. Let's get over the cake. Let's get over Florida. Let's get over it.
Oh, my God. Please don't mention this cake. Mm-hmm.
Dolores called her Siglet. That was the new name Siglet. This week. She called her Siglet. Did you catch that?
I did.
Oh, she did?
I was like, oh, you got a new name today.
Oh, God.
One more star.
You know, it's just for her many personalities.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. There are many.
You know, they really get down to the issue of, I guess Dolores has heard from Siggy that, you know, everybody was questioning her relationship with Frank. And so Margaret got lumped into that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is where they really kind of broke the ice, when Margaret was allowed to explain, no, I didn't. I'm actually shocked that Dolores believed her. I didn't think she was going to. I thought she was going to push back on that one, but she didn't. So I was happy about that. I was really, really happy about that. She also, so then they start to bond over their, both of their unconventional relationships. And I was surprised to hear, you know, and see Margaret get emotional. This was the first time we've gotten to see that side of her.
Yeah. These were her stepkids that she was getting
her
emotional
stepkids,
over?
Yeah.
Stepkids. She started raising them when she was 24.
Yeah.
And I like she's that comfortable to talk about it. Like, that's some serious information, you know, that somebody might throw against you. You were a bad mom, and that's why your kids don't want to talk to you. Like, I'm waiting for that to come up in two episodes. So she obviously let herself be very...
Danielle will probably invite the two kids to the party.
Oh, my God, yes. You know.
Get the kids in the studio. Actually, let's get the kids in here with Danielle.
That's going to be Danielle's special guest when she comes in. She's like, actually, I brought in two people who have something to say to
I'm telling you.
Their distant mother.
I'm telling you, when it comes to Danielle, she needed to get on the show. She needed to keep the peace with people to be able to do press. But when that reunion comes, watch her. Be real careful. That's what I'm going to say. When she comes on,
I'm a little
really.
Scared right now.
Yeah, that's. I really think that that's when she's going to do it, because that's when she has to secure that space next season full time. Just watch. I maybe I'm wrong, but I think it might be.
She's going to pull that. Did you acknowledge your children?
Oh. Classic.
What I'm wondering is why she.
Not forgot my family!
Why she wasn't a part of the main cast from the get go? Like, what was that about? Not making her a part of the main cast. I don't understand that decision still. Anybody have any insight on that?
This season?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're maybe trying her out. Because you have to take back to when she had the sit down with Caroline. When she had to sit down with her, she's like, there's guys with guns here. And she was like threatening actual real harm. So it's kind of like, let's bring you back and let you taste it a little mm-hmm. bit. And if you can act right, we'll let you have a seat at the table. But right now you're going to sit at the mm-hmm. children's table come Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. You get to call Teresa, mm-hmm. not be in Puerto
yeah.
Rico.
Yeah. I heard her on the Morning Breath podcast talk about it. She said that she initially was really insulted. She said, I'll be very honest, she was really insulted. But she said, the people at Bravo know what they're doing, and they talked me down, and they make a lot of sense. So I'm all in. I support their decision. So maybe this is like, she got like a guarantee for the mm-hmm. next season. She's like, just put up and shut up for now, and then we'll be back. Because I have heard a rumor that she is, if they do get picked up, that she has it written down that she'll be on full time.
And then don't they get
could be a complete made up thing.
It's like a lease
episode.
Yeah.
They get paid per episode
as friends of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cuz I remember the one season that they demoted Luann, and that was probably one of her best seasons. Mm-hmm. So then they brought her back to full time. So maybe we'll see her full time next season.
That's why Danielle's to keep making these phone calls to get paid. It's income.
She got like 50 cents for that.
I know. What, does that count? Like if you make a phone call over a speakerphone?
I believe it does.
Maybe like half. You know, it's like a half.
It's like a half day
rate.
It was literally a minute.
That's funny.
Maybe Danielle had a downsize. Remember she was selling her house too? Maybe she don't have a house. Maybe she just has a condo. And she's trying to build up her equity this season, and she's going to buy a house next season.
Mm, well, that's why we didn't get to see the housewarming party. I'm sure she's pissed about that, too. She looks good, if you remember flashbacks. Yeah.
She did. Poor thing. Well, anyway, Dolores and Margaret finally reconcile, and I thought that was the most amazing thing that happened this episode. Well, almost. I'll get to the next one in a second. Teresa has a conversation with Melania about her time away. I felt like this was an obligatory conversation. Like, producers said, you know what? Go talk to her about this. Because Melania was really like, I don't want to talk to you about this at all.
Especially with like six crew guys in front of her.
Every one of those Puerto Rico conversations were like forced. Mm-hmm. And I was... yes. I agree. I was not here for it.
I didn't really understand why they followed Teresa to Puerto Rico, to be honest. Other than them having a couple conversations about, like, her mom and the kids being disrespectful, I didn't really understand why they were there.
Just to take it out of the normal area.
Take it out of the country
out of the normal area of New Jersey. Yeah,
all right.
I agree, though. It reminded me of, like, OC two seasons back when Terry and Heather went on a trip and they had cameras there. There was no content or
nothing
anything
going on.
So it was like, all right, what are we going to see? I knew that one scene because of the preview with her and Melania would come up. But then it was as expected, the kids on the water slide, jumping in the water and all this stuff. Like, I'm glad that she's having this time with her family. I don't necessarily need to see it, and I don't need to see a setup moment either with her daughters.
Right.
Exactly.
Those are conversations you don't have with a crew, a story producer, lighting in public. It's a lot for a kid. Even if they threw one of us in there right now, we had to have a conversation with one of our parents about some family matter. I mean, it would be a lot for us. Never mind Melania with braces, who's probably 12 years old.
Like, do you miss Daddy? She's like, obviously. Like, exactly. I'd probably be annoyed, too. You're only asking me this for the camera.
I would have preferred to see this via cell phone footage.
Yeah,
I would have loved
agree.
To see Teresa and the dad get, like, jacked up, and then Gia have to watch the kids, and then, like, them just falling all over the place. Like, no, I'm going to take you to the club. Like, I would have loved to see all that, but just none of that happened.
You want fun on this show. You're looking for the fun.
I want Boca Raton fun.
Because the dad sounds like he could be fun, because he's always talking about, like, how such and such is fine and da-da-da-da-da.
That creeped me the hell out last week. I'm just going to be real.
I had the same moment. I was like, no.
I don't know if it's a language barrier or if he just speaks
the way
very
he
monotone.
Was looking,
but...
No, it was crazy.
He always has, like, an open lip. He catches flies. It's like...
Oh my God.
You gotta fix that.
And I know that this is a sensitive topic, but I really don't want him to keep being reminded of his wife that has just passed. Like, I feel like we are overemphasizing this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the kids, we know they're bad. Everybody knows they're bad. We get it. I don't need to see it five times this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to see it at all.
But I think at this point, we're not even 2 months into post the death of her mother, right? Isn't it, like, still really soon? Did it just happen? Because she said it's been a month, and then we're going to go on this trip. I think she said this 2 weeks previous to this show. So it still is pretty fresh, this death. It hasn't been 6 months, we'll say that, you know? So, I mean, I can understand why they're making such a big deal about it.
I just don't like it because I feel like every time we have to... it's going to continue to make him cry. And I'm thinking that it's just a, why do we keep bringing this up to him?
Break his heart.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like frail. Kicking out a scab.
Especially on vacation.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I would have rather seen them actually having some fun and making, you know, this situation a little bit brighter. I think that would have been preferable for me. Mm-hmm. We could have seen more of Danielle this episode and less of Teresa and the kids.
I got a less of a few others.
Amen.
Okay. Speaking of which, we see Melissa. She's going shopping with Antonia for another obligatory scene. And we know now that Antonia doesn't go for one pieces. That was probably the most interesting thing for me in this scene. And she doesn't want to talk about boyfriends. Surprise. Yeah. Now, are we surprised to also learn that Antonia is scared of Joe Gorga?
No.
I wasn't, because I fast-forwarded through it. I did not know that. Sorry. I never do that, but I was like, okay. I was trying to catch up to y'all to be able to come in here. So I was like, this is a quick... I knew instantly. Just it wasn't going to have the juice that I'm looking for in the show.
The most important thing, I think, about this scene was that Melissa started to understand a bit more about why Teresa is a little bit more lenient with the kids, because it's a balance to how strict Joe Gorga is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was a really nice call back and tie in, and hopefully wrapped up that topic forever. We're back in Puerto Rico again, and the kids are having a photo shoot. They're still bad. They're still running all over her, and nothing new there to report. You guys notice anything else?
Nono was red as a lobster. I felt really bad.
He fell asleep.
Burnt to a crisp. Yeah. Like, poor man.
All the girls looked nice.
Yes. And the actual photo, the final photo, looked really, really good.
Yeah. But it was so inauthentic. I mean, that's normal family photos. I'm not hating on that at all. Yeah. But it's like, Mom, shut up.
Family photo post.
Like, I know. Like, I'm just like, this is the most inauthentic family photo ever that they're sending to.
I felt the same way.
I've never
so posed.
I've never told my mom to shut up a day in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't even think I'd be alive anymore.
I'm guilty of that. I pushed my boundaries quite a bit.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Really? Were you Melania?
A little bit.
Oh my God.
I was a difficult child.
That's why you couldn't spend the night anywhere.
I was grounded all the time.
I knew what I wanted and didn't let anyone get in my way. So
you're making trouble then, you're making trouble now.
Oh my
God,
I know. I never change. Really.
So then Joe and Antonia have their obligatory daddy date at the trampoline park, which is called Urban Air. I don't know why I noticed that, but it was probably the most exciting thing about that scene as well. And we know that Joe can't flip because he gave all of his athletic skills to Antonia when she was born.
Oh, that was funny.
You know what? As much as boring as this scene was, I love Joe and Melissa. As they're just like, they're the coolest parents ever. Like, he will do anything for his wife.
Yeah.
She's like, talk to your daughter. He took her to the little jumpy place. He will do anything for his kids. I can't say that about the rest of the husbands on the show.
Ooh.
But burn. That's as far as we can go with that one.
I kind of like the ending of this scene where, you know, they kind of came to an understanding. And, you know, that was really sweet.
Yeah.
It was
cute. About that.
Seems real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did seem very, very real.
Hopefully we have now wrapped up the bad kid storyline and we can move on to other things. Speaking of other things, Dolores and Siggy do a double date with Frank, curiously, and Michael. This is curious to me because I'm thinking, if you're going to be double dating with anybody, shouldn't it be your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not your ex-husband?
Did you catch the side eye from Frank when I mentioned that?
I didn't.
He said... I was like, ooh,
good catch.
You know you're not supposed to be there.
That is so interesting. My thing is, does her boyfriend not want to be filmed?
Like, maybe.
You know, is this the deal?
Maybe.
Because I would be kind of like, why are you spending all your time on camera with this man?
I'll find out. I will see your response.
Cool.
I felt bad for Dolores when she met with Margaret, and she was like, basically her whole life was revolving around when Frank had time for her. You know, she said that.
Yeah, I do.
She like had to like was like the town babysitter and like took care of all these kids, and she would just wait by the door for Frank to come home after leaving his girlfriend's house. That's no way to live. So you know what? Maybe this shows, you know, her second life, and you know, I hope that her life is more exciting than that.
Well, I definitely wouldn't be taking Frank with me to these dates.
Nope.
No.
She took him with her to the restaurant tasting. Now she's going on double dates with him. I'm like, you left me at home all those times. You stay at home too.
Exactly. This is my life. This is my show that I'm on. Like,
right. You're not even allowed to be filmed. You
maybe
can be in the background.
Frank is still using her to get publicity now. So that's why he's been around so much. Like, oh, he doesn't want to be filmed. I'll be filmed. I'll come with you with your friends because maybe he's looking for another side girl.
Oh.
Those men could have stayed at
home. I like it. There's a way. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a motive there. Wouldn't that be awful, using the mother of his children to get another girlfriend? Okay.
He used her the first time.
Shout out to the sound effects. I love it. They're like right on. It's like in my head. I love it. You know, it's just odd to me because, you know, we all know that, you know, her boyfriend is probably out buying them more food for dessert to bring home to him. Which, it's just weird.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No,
I did.
You didn't.
He buys he buys them food.
Yeah, some real raw steaks. I mean, my God, those people are going to get sick. I don't know. Maybe that's the idea. You know, I mean, I was shocked. But I was not, I wouldn't be eating those steaks, just saying.
Well, we learned that the pellets are working.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Siggy's feeling more sexual, so maybe a sexy Siggy now.
Oh, sexy Siggy. Mm. Come that's on, a, new name come through.
That's sexy. The thing. You know, like, I don't, you know, certain people just don't picture having sex. Like, I don't view her as a sexy person. You know what I mean?
She's you don't very, see Siggy having wild sex with Michael?
I really don't. I think she's too distracted. Like, she's too busy and into other people's business. I can't picture it.
I feel like if anything, she'd be more like bobbing around the whole entire room. Michael's trying to catch her.
Really?
I feel like they'd be doing it, and she's on the phone with Dolores.
That's what I mean. Wow. She's the girl that's having sex on the cell phone. That's like she's on the phone.
Oh my God, that's so right.
She's booking a retreat with like six women in a nail salon. She doesn't have any time for any sex.
So on point.
So Dolores tells them about her conversation with Margaret. And, you know, surprisingly, Siggy is still upset for what reason. I have no clue because I thought that this issue was patched up like two or three episodes ago. I don't understand why she's still mad. If Dolores isn't mad anymore, mm-hmm. and Dolores is angry about a lot. But if she's not, if she softened up to the point where she's telling you, your friend, you know, like, cut her some slack. Like, I was shocked that Siggy was still carrying that bone.
If you don't vibe with someone, you'll hold on to a grudge like that. Maybe they just don't vibe and she's looking for an excuse as to why she doesn't like her. Maybe she just straight up doesn't and she's trying to justify it.
But if you also can't forgive someone for what they've done to you, you can't move on with your life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's right.
Some
but,
people,
yeah.
look, some
as a
people
relationship
look back
expert.
And other people should look forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And Siggy keeps looking back when she should be looking forward.
Mm.
I don't know how much her expertise is helping her.
Oh, I know. We forget that she's a relationship
she's a
therapist.
She's a relationship expert.
Expert. Not even a therapist. Expert. One of the most talented people in the world, too.
So she says.
Uh-oh.
So finally, they get her to come around and sort of, you know, agree to come to some amicable place with Margaret. I am not convinced that this is going to last because I think she just likes to hold a grudge. I think she's just one of those people. She will just continue to hold a grudge despite how many times she says, I forgive you.
Totally.
She likes drama.
That's ugly as a person.
It just gives her, it is, gives
isn't
her life.
It though?
Yeah.
It's like at a certain point, you got
to
let it go.
Yeah, because while you're holding on to this grudge, that other person is outliving their life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Their best life.
And you can't keep telling the person that you're okay with them and not really being okay with it either.
Right.
It's one thing if you're just like, nope, I really don't like you, period. But if you're going to keep saying, you know what, okay, let's go to a diner again and talk. Like, you can't. It doesn't count for anything.
No.
Your word doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think as a viewer, it gets old. You know what I'm saying? In a season where we only have 12 episodes, I'm going to need you to get over this faster.
Yeah.
I do.
Are we halfway? Isn't this six?
We are halfway.
Halfway through.
Okay, then.
We are at that mark.
We need to get Danielle in here. We're bringing Kim D. Let's keep it going.
How are you?
Do you see her?
That's
as
Kim
a sexy
G.
Roach?
That's my bad. That's Kim G.
Kim G. Yes.
How are you?
Do you know she is Twitter verified, Kim G?
Is she really?
Yeah, she is. For what?
I love her. I used to live for Kim G.
Kim
I miss
G,
her
cover photo on Twitter is her wrapped in this big fur coat. Good for her. She made the most of that, like, 3.5 episode season 2. Good for her.
She worked it.
Kim G, ladies and gentlemen.
Hand clap. Yeah. And speaking of hand clap, we are just about at the end of this episode, which I felt like was kind of like a filler episode, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that we get to some more action next week. But before we go, we got to talk about Teresa having this final conversation with her father while they're in Puerto Rico. And he basically tells her, you know, you got to be stricter with the kids. You know, and she admits, you know, this isn't the same time period when I was growing up. And you could, you know, I know it's the same for me. My dad could, like, look at me and I'm just like, I got to go run into my room. Like, I can't deal, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, obviously she grew up the same way. So I'm not understanding why she doesn't insert a little bit of that into the girls. Like, you can't be friends with your children.
Yeah.
When no. they're mm-hmm. growing, when you're trying to parent them, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like she needs to recognize that. But I feel like she's so caught up in guilt.
Yes, exactly.
From being away, from everything that Joe did, to Joe being away.
It's understandable. She knows they're going through a tough time. Why would she make their lives more difficult? They're the four daughters that she's always talking about.
Yeah.
I get it, but yeah, as a parent, you have to.
You have to.
And I like that she threw in there that she was disappointed at Joe, mad at Joe even, for right. taking those 11 months and kind of being messy with everything that she could have spent with her mom. I really liked her saying that. I was like, yeah. For one, she's not sticking up for,
yeah.
you know.
How do we feel that, how do we think she's going to feel with Dolores having said what she said about Joe Gorger, or, I mean, Joe Giudice earlier?
She's going to flip a table.
I hope so.
She's going to flip a table, or she might even hit her with a car.
I feel like Dolores would fight back. I don't know why I feel like she would.
There's just certain places that you don't go.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's one, especially because Teresa was very topical about the whole living situation with Dolores and her man. And Dolores went digging, so she's going to find something on the other side.
Well, tune in next week to see what she does find. This concludes our episode of AfterBuzz TV, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8, Episode 6. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Richie Sky. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And I'm Tracy Probst. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tracy Probst.
And I'm Russell Ray. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Russell Ray Silva.
And if you want even more Real Housewives of New Jersey, I'm talking about it on my podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk.
Oops. Rate us, listen to us, share us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.